This is CliffCentral.com.
Hey, we do want something just like this Coldplay and Chainsmokers. Good morning.
What, a divorce in Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yes, we all want an ex-wife who, what, who likes to, what's it called, steam her vagina?
Yes, of course. That's what Gwyneth will be remembered for from now onwards.
What a delightful way to start the hour. It really is. If you have no idea what you're getting yourself into, welcome to the party. It's the Gareth Cliff Show. Gareth isn't here this morning, but I like, Quentin said this. I think the show should be called the Sia Breakfast Show with Gord, Mabale, Gareth, and Amanda as contributing guests.
Okay, fine.
All right, Quentin, I'll leave. It's okay.
Okay, fine.
Quentin, let's not get ahead of ourselves. So here's the thing. Whenever Gareth isn't here, you know, Gareth, of course, drives the show. He sits in the power chair every single morning. But when he isn't, we all sort of take some time to run the desk. And usually Ben has been doing it. But, you know, this morning we decided, okay, let's see what goes on. And so far, I have to say, in a very modest way, it's been a little over an hour and still no Beyonce has been played.
Ah.
And there hasn't been any Oprah reference.
Okay. So up until that exact second.
Right. Sharp. Never mind. Let's continue on with the show. Ben, do you want to get this a few messages for you here regarding the sports? Because, of course,
bring him.
Massive, massive sporting weekend. So, firstly, who is this? Well, there's no name, but they say, good morning, team. Love your show. Haven't missed a podcast since the beginning. Well, that's awesome. Thank you, person with no name. And she or he says, we noticed Ben always has some sort of ailment or is on holiday.
I know. That's the source of my great sadness.
Oh. Well, you see, because of the ailments, then he needs time away to recover and recuperate.
It's either or.
They're going through a really bad run, which seems to be my entire 30s.
Oh my god.
Like, I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm just being frank with myself. Because,
sorry, Amanda, what was that?
Ben, you're just so dramatic.
Oh.
Okay, Amanda, how about I just don't say anything then? Fuck. I mean, if I'm going to be expressive about what's going on in my life, what must I do? Lie about shit.
Yeah, Amanda, you know, this isn't being dramatic. This is honesty right here.
Is that bad?
As he says, life in your 30s.
This is honesty right now, and yeah. Fuck, Ben, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Yeah. That really
it's
like sucks.
Nothing. It's just exactly nothing.
Cal wants to know, Ben, don't you think the first try water to the All Blacks was dodgy, though?
Yeah, completely. As soon as you touch it, you're in possession. If you lose possession of the ball and you're going forward, it's a knock-on. You've got to have control of the ball. And I'm just so upset about these kind of things that always go the All Blacks way. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist. I don't want to be one of those guys that say that the ref always wins these matches for them. But, like, enough's enough. Can we not just have some of these calls go our way for once?
Yeah.
Is there any
Grates my nuts.
Is there any point in referees being called to order after the fact? Is there any point in any of that? Do they get punished? How does it work in referee
land?
Yeah,
it's a good point. I think that they should, just like anyone else, there should be accountability. But I think what the World Rugby Association feels that if that happens, then it'll be a slippery slope for people calling for referees to be reviewed. And if that happens every single week, then I mean, it's just difficult to kind of go from there. Everyone makes mistakes, no doubt about it. I just want to know why we keep having horrible French people making mistakes for us. I mean, I tweeted just as the second half started. I was like, wow, what an amazing game of rugby. Plus, we still got the diabolical French match-altering decision still to happen.
Mm-hmm.
75th minute, there it is.
And then this message from Vinny, who...
Hey, Vinny.
I'm going to read it as he's put it out here. It says, hi, Ben. Just a reminder what I said on Wednesday. And quotes says, hey, man, those Cape Town All Black supporters is just bunch assholes making a puss of themselves. Fucktards. I'm in Oz and I still support the Springbok losers. They are my losers. Can't support any other losers. My losers played very well, he says. He's so proud.
They did. And at some stage, they will beat the All Blacks. And then where this Cape Crusaders going to be? Trying to find the old Bok jerseys again, because that's the fibre of these people.
Jeez, yo. Well, it is a Monday, and listen, it's the first day of a week, or rather weekend, that was eventful for everyone here, to say the least.
All right, so I'm not going to waste any more time. Yeah, I'm going to get straight into it. Okay, so I think it was on Friday early afternoon that I got a message, a WhatsApp message from you, Sia, where you took a screenshot of an email confirming that our request to interview the only man that I have ever loved, the only man that I will ever love, the only man whose children I will have.
Oh, man.
Rapper, producer, actor, social activist, Common. Our request to interview him was granted, and like, I think I screamed out loud at the moment when I saw that screenshot. So
that was like, of everything that I've done this year alone, I think that has to rank as one of my proudest moments this year. Because at a point, I was in the middle of the field. I was like half drunk out of my mind, half just didn't even know where I was. And I said, listen, I have to answer these emails. They need to get back to me. So when I got confirmation, I was just happy for you. That is it.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So it all happened on Saturday at the Protea Hotel in that Fire and Ice place.
You took him straight to a hotel?
Yeah, listen, I didn't. She doesn't waste time.
I didn't take him. I met him there.
So what'd you do? You got home dressed up, eye drops in your wallet.
Well, I'm.
Then you left for the hotel going, all right, I've all I need. Yeah. Do you have a microphone, my buddy, or a recording device?
Yeah.
No, shut up.
Oh, my gosh. So it happened on Saturday afternoon. Arrived at the hotel in Melrose Arch, and essentially it was a press opportunity where Common would be doing a number of interviews, right? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just me there. Made it very difficult for me to have things my way. But anyway, got there. So once I had located the ladies from the PR company that had granted us access to Common, I introduced myself and I said, okay, so it's me, Mabale, I'm with Cliff Central. And then this woman says to me, oh, this is a bit tricky because Sia never responded to our email to confirm that you would be coming. And I didn't say it out loud, but in the back of my mind, I was thinking, there's no way Sia didn't respond to your email. That would be sabotage to me of the highest order.
Yeah.
And Sia would not get in the way of this kind of happiness for me. But yes. I didn't say that to her. So she says, we'll need to ask his management team because we have a certain number of interviews confirmed for him to do. So let us talk to his management team and then let's see what they say.
Okay.
Fine. So now I sit down, I'm getting the microphone out, I'm, you know, plugging it into my cell phone, I'm preparing myself. In my mind, I'm going through all the things that I want to ask him. But there's also this knot in my stomach because I'm thinking, oh, but what if this interview doesn't happen? And I see him, he's doing interviews, he's talking to people, he's being shuffled from one camera to the next, it's a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually this lady comes back to me and she said, okay, you know what, it's fine, they have agreed, but now you only have 5 minutes, which when it was initially meant to be 15. So I'm like, it's fine, I'll take it.
We can make 5 minutes work, girl.
Sit down with Common. I was very professional, right? Because one of my guy friends had said to me, all right, now the last thing that you want to do is go in there and be like a fangirl. You are doing a job, okay?
Yes.
So I said, no, I get that 100%. And it was very interesting. We sat down and a lot of our conversation had to do with politics, specifically American politics. When he landed at O.R. Tambo International Airport, he was wearing a hoodie which reads Black America Again.
Yes.
So out the gate, that was one of the first things that I asked him about. And then we also spoke about his Hope and Redemption prison tour. He has been going around parts of America, not only performing for people who have been incarcerated in prison, but he also sits down with them.
Ooh.
He hears their stories. They talk about the issues that they feel are currently wrong with the criminal justice system. What he's also been doing is he's been talking to governors and legislators about certain changes that he feels need to be implemented within the criminal justice system. And in so doing, he's actually managed to change 3 bills in Southern California. Mm. A big issue that he has had is the fact that, you know, a lot of these guys are incarcerated at a young age, so early 20s. And, you know, they've made a mistake, but then they receive a life sentence. And he feels that that is possibly a wasted life, because, you know, a lot of people might commit mistakes very early on in their lives. But the question then is it always the ideal situation to have these people rot for the rest of their lives behind bars? Yeah. So a couple of the bills, he's managed to get the governors and the powers that be to change them. And then, you know, we also spoke about the fact that, you know, he won an Emmy recently, and, you know, within the award season spectrum, there's the big four. There's the Emmy, the Oscar, the Grammys, which he has all of those.
Yes.
Now he's just missing the Tony Award, which is the theatrical or the theater.
Like the Oscars of the theater world.
Of the stage.
Yeah.
So everybody is talking about the fact that they'd really like him to see him win a Tony. So I asked him, well, I mean, does that kind of thing put pressure on you? And da 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 da. And, you know, he's like, yeah, well, I mean, it would be nice. He's always wanted to do theater long before he became a rapper, which he's been doing for the past 25 years. The man is busy. And yeah, so it was a very good chat.
So you were actually able to be calm, collect yourself, not lose it.
How often were your eyes going to his crotch?
My eyes did not go anywhere near that area, Ben, because I was locked.
You really are amazing.
I was locked in the gaze of his eyes. The way that he looked at me and the way that I looked at him back.
Oh, there was a connection?
Well, I mean, in my head, there was a connection. Yeah, a lot of things happened in my head that didn't really happen, but yes. I don't care, okay?
Because my first words to him wouldn't even be words. They'd be 10 digits, honey. I would start with.
No, it was a really good time. And right at the end of the interview, when I got up to leave, so I said, oh, can we please take a picture for our website, da 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 da. And as we were taking the picture, he said to me, how did you know about the Black America First thing? And I said, oh, no, I mean, I saw the picture on social media. And he was like, good questions.
Was there someone literally with like a stopwatch next to you going, okay, there's like 1 minute left?
No, not a stopwatch, Ben, but they do sit quite close next to you. And then when it is time to wrap it up, they will give you a signal.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it wasn't the longest time in the world. And the reason that I have...
Oh.
The reason that I have given you so much detail into all of this happening... is because I got home.
What's happening? Uh-huh.
And I played back the interview.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is distorted.
I know.
So I'm not going to be able to actually play the interview for you here on cliffcentral.com. And my heart shattered into a million pieces. Because...
That would be your new, like,
ringtone. Because it just makes you feel like the biggest idiot in the world to have gone through all of that with all that anticipation, having prepared as much as I did, aside from the fact that, you know, this is the only man that I will ever love.
Mm.
And then to get home and to realize that the equipment failed me, technology failed me. You know, I was there, I was practicing with this damn microphone, I was running all kinds of tests on it to make sure that, you know, everything comes out crystal clear. And then in the moment when it needed to happen, I just got screwed over.
Mm. But it just proves that he is a superpower then, because he basically yes. made your equipment faulty. The equipment couldn't even deal with him. I mean, that just, you are not at fault here.
Oh, I feel like an idiot, but I mean, it was a great experience. He took to the stage at 8 p.m. on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. The entire time that we were doing the interview, he was worried because it was pouring rain on Saturday. I don't know if you managed to get to that festival.
There
let
was
us
hail.
Know. Yeah. Ooh. Pouring rain. And, you know, he looked at me and he said, does it usually rain this hard at around this time of the year?
Ooh.
And then he, you know, he was saying to his people, is this what I'm going to have to perform in? he looked genuinely concerned. But I think that by the time he took to the stage, it had all stopped.
Oh, come in.
But did you at least say, like, let's DM later? I won't be wearing much. Here's my address.
So you didn't ask him, you know, for official website purposes as well to take a picture with his shirt off?
You know what, Sia? It was a room full of people. So I could have done a lot more had it just been him and I.
Absolutely.
But there were tons of people in that room.
See, this is why you this are not actually so out of control. No, because, see, this is the thing about professional stalkers and people who are living on the edge. They get tunnel vision when they get stuff like this.
Yeah.
I mean, if Sia had to... No, Sia, we've already seen that Sia failed when Oprah was in his proximity.
No, well, no, just I can't.
But you get those people who... There could be 1,000 people around. They will drop on their knees and say, right, this is it. This is my chance.
Yeah.
You just show us, Obali, you actually got a lot going for you.
Thanks, Ben. I mean, as I said, in my head, there were a ton more things that happened on the day that didn't really happen in person. But, you know, it was great.
And I think, though, another thing with a lot of people when you look up to someone, and the opportunity comes. Oh, it's true.
When you're just in love with them.
When you're just in love with them. You hope to merely not be disappointed. No, you've built this entire idea of, oh my goodness, he's amazing and he's life personified and he's everything. And you meet that person and you get disappointed, like, oh, actually, you are only human as well and you have bad, weird body odor, but I'm so glad you weren't disappointed.
No, absolutely not. He seems like an easygoing guy. He seems like the kind of guy who, you know, doesn't walk around with the notion of, do you know who I am?
Yeah, well, he's 45. He's done his stuff in life.
Exactly.
See, like, this is the great thing about being a guy is that you keep maturing. Like, I'm so thankful for this. I know I've got 10 more years until I get to where Common is. I'm not saying it's going to go well, but I've still got the opportunity to have such a presence in 10 years' time.
Yeah. And the man is acclaimed. I mean, he has achieved so much in his life. So, no, I wasn't disappointed. And it was overall a very good Saturday afternoon. Very good Saturday, well spent.
Cool. Can I put that picture up on the group?
Yes.
Okay, so if you follow the Gareth Cliff Show on Instagram, which obviously you do, I'm about to put the picture of Mabali in common. It's a lovely picture.
Thank you
very much. He is so happy.
And it's already framed in her lounge.
I'm Googling pictures of him, and he doesn't look as happy as he looks next to you, Mabs.
No, you know what, Ben? And I had that effect on him. Yes, I did.
Clearly. You look like you've actually just had sex. Seriously, you've got this post-coital glow of note.
That was the first thing I thought of when I saw that picture as well. I don't know, maybe it was a filter or whatever the case is, but there's a lot of radiation. Not radiation, but radiating.
And you can just see in the background that the rain parted just for this photo. A ray of sunlight came out.
Yeah, it was very poetic.
In a very superficial, absolutely typical girly question, like, how long did it take you to decide on an outfit?
Because
this would be like a 21-day process for me.
Well, on the Friday night, after I told my roommate that I was going to be interviewing him, she said to me, what are you going to wear?
Exactly.
And then before I even answered her, she said, nothing. Oh. I said, no, that will be a little bit weird.
Says who?
I almost overthought getting dressed, but then I thought to myself, no. Actually, I want to be comfortable because that's me. I'm a comfort dresser. So, yes, I slapped on a bit of, you know, the war paint. But I was in jeans and sneakers, essentially. I was like, what am I going to do? Am I going to walk in there on 6-inch heels that I hate wearing, wobbling all over the place with a very big possibility of falling over because I'm that girl. I'm that girl who falls in heels because I never wear them.
Jeez.
So I kept it very casual, very relaxed. It was going to be about the interview and nothing else.
See, that's the difference between you and I.
The interview that I now can't play for you.
I would have walked in there like I would just got off my shift at the Purple Pleasure Palace. Just. Anyway, moving on. Amanda, hey, how was your weekend?
Not as exciting, hey?
Oh.
Like, no, nothing really. I did go out Friday and I actually kept my cool.
Mm-hmm.
And no, that was about it.
Where did you go out on Friday?
Friday, I went to Rockets and to Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Babylon because Sketchy Bongo was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it was good. I was in bed by 2. Hmm.
Good innings.
All good.
I actually prefer it when Amanda Nyah keeps her cool. I'm the last one to speak about cool or dignity. But if you're in 2 a.m., that's done dusted, then fantastic. Before we get into some more news, by the way, you, of course, know if you are subscribed to our newsletter here at cliffcentral.com that we use Touchbase Pro. And listen, we have to say, they're absolutely fantastic and great. Our newsletter is now so easy to put together. It takes us less time to get it out in the morning as well. Deliverability overall has improved as well, and including our click rate. Our click rate has improved up to 8 times since we've moved over to Touchbase Pro. So we just want to let you know, do not overlook them at all. They have this incredible local support, and we love supporting local business as well. So take a look, you know, find out more about them. They could help you and your business out as well. So book a demo with them, and they share their screen with you so you see it for yourself, and there's no commitment on your side at all. Visit www.touchbasepro.com and click on book a demo. It's very easy. www.touchbasepro.com. Mabel Molloy.
Well,
look at some more news.
Yeah, in some breaking news this morning, an Eyewitness News investigation has established that a sporting goods supplier allegedly paid at least 300,000 rand and possibly as much as 680,000 rand for a trip to Dubai by Minister Fikile Mbalula and his family last year.
Oh.
It all goes down in Dubai, obviously. The payment presents, at the very least, a conflict of interest because Mbalula was sports minister at the time of this trip, while the company that sponsored involved was also doing business with Sascoc. This investigation suggests that the sporting goods company sponsored at least part of the minister's getaway in late 2016 by channeling money through an apparently inactive company called Riemann Uniforms. The sporting goods company has been a supplier of clothing to Sascoc for more than a decade. So EWN breaking this news story, asking the question, was this nefarious?
Yes. Yes.
Did we need to?
Yes.
Yeah.
The words Dubai, Sascoc, and Mbalula are involved.
Just in that sentence alone.
Gun victim motive.
EWN has established that Mbalula, his wife, and their 3 children departed from Johannesburg on the 28th of December 2016 and then returned on the 3rd of January. The family stayed at the Atlantis, the Palm Hotel in Dubai,
Dubai,
if we really want to be correct. The Atlantis was developed by Saul Kirzner International Holdings and internationally acclaimed for its Atlantis-themed water park. The entire holiday package, including return fares, cost about 680,000 rand. Must be nice, guys.
That's a holiday. That's a good holiday.
Must be nice. I wonder what the next destination is going to be once the Dubai trend comes to an end. Because, you know, also you get those girls who travel to Dubai and have their trips paid for.
But you know, like, what really bugs me, like, the arrogance of it all is, like, what's wrong with, like, the low felt?
Yeah.
Why can't we just keep the money in the country? What's with these pricks always having to take money out of the country? Why can't you just charter a helicopter in Cape Town? Why can't you, I don't know, rent out an entire floor of the Oyster Box in Durban? Like, there's lots of things you can spend lots of money on and have lots of fun in South Africa.
Been there, done that. We now need to raise the bar some more by spending a bar.
It's just, yeah, the litmus value goes up when you go through passport control.
Also, Ben, you know, when you're talking to your friends and peers, it sounds so much cooler to say that you were in Dubai last December as opposed to I was in the Lowveld last December. You know how people are. It's all about appearances.
Exactly. Yep.
It's all about being pretentious. And it's all about being able to say, well, this is what I did, which is something that you can't do, and therefore I am better than you.
Mm. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
That's exactly it. All right. Apparently, Russell Brand is broke. This is all according to him.
Oh.
He claims that he will have to work for the rest of his life because he doesn't have much money. Brand has given away most of his fortune. The 42-year-old comic, who has an 11-month-old daughter with his wife, claims that he will have to work for the rest of his life because his luxury lifestyle and generosity towards others have left him living from one paycheck to the next.
You know what he should really do if he was actually smart? Although you probably say he's bigger than this, but just find some Katy Perry song and go, ah, that was about me. You made money on the back of me and you know it.
Yes, lest we forget, he was previously married to Katy Perry. Yeah. I keep forgetting that these two were actually husband and wife once upon a time.
But it was revealed last week why he divorced her.
Oh.
That stupid MTV thing. Just living with her.
He also recently opened up about his long battle with various addictions. He admitted his obsession with sex got particularly bad when he quit drugs. So he was addicted to drugs, replaced the drug addiction with sex addiction. Things just kind of went pear-shaped from there. So he is quoted by the Mail as saying, "I live hand to mouth. I gave people too much money. I gave too much to charity. I bought too many good things. I didn't look at the contracts. Now I've got to work for the rest of my life."
And everybody went, "Oh."
Yeah, like, firstly, why do we even know this? Because you went out and you spoke about this. And what's your intention? Are you trying to garner sympathy? Should we really feel bad that you only have, woe unto you, $9 million, which I know like he probably has way more than that, like $9 million. Some of us are just trying to get through the day, honey, and just go through like 90 rand.
Yeah, so I mean, we should actually redefine hand to mouth, because I think there's about 12 hands going to Russell's mouth. Hand to mouth is a singular thing, right? Mm-hmm. As in month to month.
Yeah,
as in if this doesn't happen next month, there is no hand.
Yeah.
But then once again, I guess it's also, do you remember a few months ago when Amore said that Amore Vittoni said that she's struggling financially? I think your realm of what wealth is or what suffering is relative.
Look, I mean, like when pony lessons are an essential in your life, you're not going to get much sympathy from the greater masses of people.
No, the greater masses of people can't relate to that kind of lifestyle. So,
but there's people out there that might have to eat a pony this month. Oh, no. Look, let's just be honest about this.
Yeah.
So
oh,
if you're bitching about the fact that you can't get your little kid on the back of one twice a week.
Yeah.
But to Russell, probably, you know, private jets everywhere is his norm. And
yeah,
if
like
he cannot afford that,
Johnny
that's
Depp's
disastrous.
Expenditure.
Exactly.
It's like you can't drink a wine unless you can't pronounce the name. That kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's an entirely different league altogether. So
I don't judge the dude, because that if that is the life you're now accustomed to, great. I just think the bigger issue here is the fact that you're so out of touch with the rest of the world.
Completely.
That means when we see you now endorsing a watch because the proceeds go to HIV/AIDS causes, I'm like, really? Well, do you really know about that when you're still complaining about the fact that you're broke but you're still on private jet? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't care is basically the sentiment that I'm getting here.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we really are going to eat, you know, we're going to have to eat ponies.
Yikes. Okay, are we ready for another, I wouldn't say murder mystery, because maybe it's a little bit premature to call that just yet. But
I'm overwhelmed with these stories. Another one.
A South African man whose wife narrowly escaped death. Sorry, it's not even murder, you see. I got ahead of myself.
Oh my gosh, I heard this headline of the weekend. I couldn't quite get over it.
Okay, so she narrowly escaped death after spiraling to the ground during a skydive. But now this man is facing trial for allegedly sabotaging her parachute.
Oh.
All for an insurance payout.
Oh my goodness. The Winchester Crown Court in the UK, because that's where this happened, heard that Victoria Silliers miraculously survived a 370-meter parachute jump after her main and reserve chutes failed to open properly. The court is alleging that back in April of 2015, her husband, Emil Silliers, removed two pieces of equipment from the parachute. Removed the slings that connect a parachute to the jumper's harness. And this is alleged to have happened days before they made their shoot. Allegedly, he first attempted to murder her by turning on a gas valve and trying to cause an explosion at their home.
Wow.
And then when that failed, the court alleges that he then tried to sabotage her parachute.
See, these guys aren't particularly smart when they do these things, so they get found out quite quickly.
Oh. Yes, because you can definitely tell when something like a parachute has been tampered with.
Yeah, completely.
Oh, I feel so bad thinking this, let alone the fact that I'll say this, but I hate that we even have to reference or compare the likes. We sort of have to give it to him for being a little smarter than someone who, for example, will murder their wife in a hotel room and expect that to go unnoticed.
I don't know how much more credit we can give him because he's now on trial.
But, you know, if
so he didn't get away with it
enough, cries enough, says, really, we were celebrating our anniversary and I thought we'd do this adventure of a lifetime. But going, go. Sure. I mean, at least he didn't, you know, try to kill his wife himself or hire someone to do that, which is messy. But you just happen to simply just pull on one string and cut that or something.
Shortly after leaving the plane, Cilius realized that she was in trouble when her first parachute didn't open properly. So after giving up on the main chute, she activated her reserve, but it too malfunctioned. And then she began spinning towards the ground. Can you imagine how terrifying
how
that...
How you don't have a heart attack through this as well.
Exactly. How you don't die in midair from that heart attack because you realize that I am going to hit the ground and I am probably not going to make it. But she survived. Mm. An expert said that she survived the failure by slowing her descent to around 45 kilometers per hour and guiding her parachute, which had a single line attached, towards a plowed field.
Sure, because like this is trauma, right? But now you actually think strategically. It's like good for this woman.
Good for her, because
may this guy rot in the cell and may she go on to find someone truly of her standard.
Members of the jury heard Emil had collected a parachute for his wife and had taken it to the men's toilet. There, the prosecution claims he tampered with the chute, taking less than 3 minutes to complete the task, and then gave it back to his wife. She got strapped in. Wow, guys.
I can't imagine how you look at someone again when you find out that they were plotting to kill you. And in such a nasty way.
Well, it's fair to say the relationship won't be what it used to be.
No, of course. Absolutely. But I mean, the level of anger and hatred I'd have towards someone like that.
What a coward. An absolute coward.
Well, why not just leave? If you are unhappy in a relationship, leave. If you think you need money, well, dude, sorry to break it to you. Life is shitty sometimes. If you want to get money, go out and earn it rightfully. Like, don't screw someone else's life. And more, like, most of all, if you're having a shitty time in life, well, end your own damn life.
Yeah, don't start with you.
Like,
yeah, but it doesn't seem like that's what it was about, Sia. The prosecution is arguing that Emil's motive was to pocket 2.1 million rand life insurance policy that would pay off his debts.
Goes back to the money.
Yeah.
You landed yourself in debt. Mm-hmm. It's your responsibility. So go out there and earn a living like everyone else does, and you pay that off. Like, no one's going to feel bad for you, puppy. Anyway, that's my 2.3 seconds on the take.
What happens to your debt when you go to prison?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because you don't have the ability to make money during that time. So obviously all your assets get taken.
Yeah, I would assume.
But let's just say you're in prison and you still owe 1 million rand.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what happens?
Oh, I hope that
does your debt get frozen? And then when you come out, it's like, hey, welcome to civilization. You still owe us money.
Yeah.
20 years later, with inflation, you're paying more.
Well, exactly. It would be inflation. This, your TV license, for one, is going to skyrocket.
Man, that's going to be quite a big number to try and settle. I don't know. Do they kind of push your debt off to, I don't know, like your spouse or family members? Because, you know, at the end of the day, when people want their money, they want their money, and they don't care how they get that money. So I wonder if your debt when you're imprisoned becomes, like, if you're married, does it become your spouse's problem?
That is so, wow. It's like a double whammy.
Somebody needs to let us know. Yeah. Somebody who was imprisoned.
Oh. Or maybe someone with a legal background.
Or, you know, someone with a legal background too. But if you spent time behind bars and still needed to settle a debt, what happened? What's the procedure?
Well, Drew. All right. So let's get someone else's take who we chat to every single Monday right on cliffcentral.com. It's Rich Mulholland. Some more sobering words of wisdom as we begin our week. Good morning, Mr. Mulholland.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Hey, Rich.
Hi, Rich. Which part of the world are you in these days? You know, you're forever traveling.
I'm in Cape Town this week. I think I'll be in Joburg with you guys next week. And then I'm traveling again.
Yeah.
All right,
just the life of Rich. That's what it is.
Okay, Rich, it's time for us to get into the assumed position and get ready to be slapped across the face with another reality check.
Oh, dear me. Okay, so let's talk about slapping across the face. Let's talk face wash. Let's talk Dove. There we go. So are we all aware of the Dove scandal that kind of erupted over the weekend?
I became aware of it late last night, Rich, but why don't you take us through it for those of us who don't?
So I actually became aware of it this morning on my way to gym, funnily enough. What we were going to be talking about today was traffic circles, but now we have done.
When are we going to talk about you going to gym? That's a new thing, right?
Hey, listen, go suck a what? I go to the Switch. I think we've actually spoken about it before. So I attend Switch Playgrounds, and I go there, I don't know, like 5 times a week.
Nice.
But I also train as hard in the kitchen with the donuts, which is a problem.
No, that's called balance.
Yeah, I'm more committed to, unfortunately, my donut training than I am to Switch, which is a pity. But there we have it. All right. So I was on my way to gym this morning. I was chatting to Dustin, and we were talking about the Dove commercial. Now, the basic premise is this. I obviously Google Dove ad, and I find it. Mm-hmm. It's a picture of a black lady with a kind of white skin colored shirt. And then what it has, it shows her taking off her shirt. And then underneath is a white lady. Mm. And it's got the Dove bottle there. So now your first inference from the image is, hey, wash with Dove soap and you can wash the black right off you. Now, this would obviously be horrific. I mean, oh my God, this would be the most horrific thing. In fact, there was that Pears advert from way, way, way back when, where they actually even made that joke. Like it's inconceivable.
Yeah, what has subsequently happened is a lot of people have been finding old adverts, but I mean, you can see these adverts are from the Cretaceous era, and adverts used to do exactly that. They would show illustrations of black people being washed with soap and then they turn white. So a lot of people have been, you know, kind of circulating images of that kind of advertising from decades ago.
Along with the image of the Dove
ad. Of the Dove ad, yeah.
Let's start with the first hypothesis, my first comment on this thing. It's undoubtedly stupid today, from a brand point of view, to do something like this, or something that can be conceived this way or perceived this way. But now let's take a step back and understand a bit of the reality of the situation. Now, Dove is quite famous for actually standing up for the opposite of this, right? So they had the first one showing a transgender mom with a baby, and they had adverts showing these things. And they're always about, in fact, the underlying intent of this advert was actually to show women beautiful in all different forms. Now, what we need to understand here is that the picture that's been circulated is actually a couple of screen grabs, not the advert itself. Mm-hmm. It's screen grabs from a 3-second video that showed a white person, a black person pulling off the shirt and being a white person, the white person pulling off the shirt and showing an Asian person. Mm-hmm. The best I can imagine to explain it to you is, do you remember the end of the old Michael Jackson Michael Jackson Black and White?
Yes.
Oh, yes, where the people are changing from one ethnicity to the rest in sequence.
Right. Right. Now that's the kind of sequence that happened here. And Dove has actually come out and said, listen, what we were trying to show is that women are beautiful in all forms. That was their thing. Now, I'm not disputing the idea of the stupidity of the order. Maybe they should have been sensitive to the fact that maybe even a white person turning into a black person would have been less, would have been more safe. However, my problem is that we all know that their intention, and so we can definitely slap them across the wrist for their stupidity. We all know that their intention was not to show this. What somebody has done is taken a part of something, presented it out of context, shared that online, and as such, people are now calling to boycott Unilever and Dove. Ironically for me, is nobody's trying to boycott the ad agency who made this. I mean, they've got to be the idiots. But I mean, for sure, Dove ran it. But I think it's important that we always understand context and intent. So were they stupid? Yes. Is it terrible? Absolutely. Like, they shouldn't have done it. Were they racist? And I would like to challenge that, of course, we know that they weren't, because this is a brand that's typically stood for the exact opposite. And the importance of preserving things in the original context. If you take half of somebody's statement and you deliver just a small little piece without the beginning of the sentence or the end of the sentence, anything anyone says can sound terrible. It is so important that we preserve the absolute context of something to give the full context. And I think that's the travesty that's happening here. We need to be careful of it because we're rabble rousing. But the other thing for me is that if we see it's a mistake, I read a book every day called The Daily Stoic. And it's every day, it's a passage from one of the Stoic philosophers, and then a kind of just a bit of a take on how we should react and treat it for the day. And if you'll indulge me, I want to read you the section from August the 31st. And it said, consider your failings too. And it starts off with a passage from Marcus Aurelius from Meditations. And he said this: whenever you take offense at someone's wrongdoing, immediately turn to your own similar failings, such as seeing money as good or pleasure or a little fame, whatever form it takes. By thinking on this, you'll quickly forget your anger. Consider also what compels them, for what else could they do? Or if you are able, remove their compulsion. And it goes on, and this is where Ryan Holiday, the author, kind of comments, and he says this: earlier, we were reminded of Socrates' tolerant belief that no one does wrong on purpose. The clearest proof of that hypothesis, all the times we did wrong without malice or intention. Remember them? The time you were rude because you hadn't slept in 2 days? The time you acted on bad information? The time you got carried away, forgot, didn't understand? The list goes on and on. This is why it is so important not to write people off or brand them as enemies. Be as forgiving of them as you are of yourself. Cut them the same slack you would for yourself so that you can continue to work with them and make use of their talents. And I think it is important with a brand that like Dove, that has done so much for the most part to try their best to open us up to understand the beauty of all cultures and sexualities and genders and everything that they've done, is to not vilify them completely as the enemy based on a misstep. Because we know clearly that's what it is. And I would love your thoughts on this as well.
So I haven't seen this ad in its entirety, Rich. And all I've seen is the screen grab of the black woman taking off her shirt, and then underneath there's a white woman. Have you seen the full ad? And tell me what that ad looks like in its entirety.
So I've only seen descriptions of the full ad because it was removed. And what it says is that a black lady takes off her shirt and becomes a white lady, and then the white lady takes off her shirt and becomes an Asian lady. And then the reference, and you can see actually on Brent Lindekew's Good Things Guy page, she's commented on it, what they were saying that they were trying to show. I'll try to find the reference. I had it open earlier. And it's to show that a celebration of women in all their different forms.
Yes, I have it in front of me here. And it says, it featured three women of different ethnicities, each removing a t-shirt and matching skin tones to reveal the next woman. The visual was intended to convey that Dove Body Wash is for every woman and to be a celebration of diversity. But we got it wrong, the company said, and as a result, offended many people. We are deeply sorry.
But Rich, I mean, you've worked with all manner of brands and different sort of campaigns. You know, I think that maybe a part of these guys were thinking, look, guys, the shit's going to hit the fan in this one, but we'll be able to get a lot of PR around it, and we can come out looking great because we'll be humble enough to say there might be something wrong here.
Because they did apologize after the fact.
Do you think that ever comes into the mindset with this?
I think it does on certain brands. I think Nando's has unapologetically built an entire brand around that premise. let's put something out there. If you remember the Tail Gunners advert, you know, my yeah. dad was a Tail Gunner himself, military man, you know, that of course they know it'd be offensive with the blind guy walking into the poll. And then they remove it. And in fact, the act of removing the advert gives them the press they want. I don't believe in this instance that would be Dove's strategy, just given the fact of you have to, again, look at things in complete context. So we can't look at one little isolated incident. I mean, people have been drawing in another Dove advert from years ago that shows two patches of skin, one before, one after, showing that the skin is dirty and then clean. And then standing in front of those two patches of skin is a group of women. And there happens to be a black woman on the left and a white woman on the right, another woman in between. And people are saying, ah, you know, this is them being racist, showing that, you know, you before you're black and after. But again, we have to look at the broader context of things. Now, if they were doing that, again, we can certainly vilify them for being stupid and ignorant and for not seeing things properly. And I mean, people should probably lose their jobs. Like, I'm not disputing this. I do believe that the creative director of the agency should maybe be fired, and the maybe the creative director or the marketing director at Dove who let it go, or the, you know, social manager who let it go, probably lose their job. And I actually think that would be a responsible act. Yeah. But I don't think they're going to gain out of this by apologizing. And in fact, it's quite an awkward position for them. If you look at their apology, they're trying to apologize unequivocally, but they're trying to also mention, they say, you know, in their follow-ups, they say, but it was a 3-second advert. So they want to make clear to people that they understand, and without, you know, because they can't be seen for a single second as saying that person was wrong for taking the screenshot, because a brand can't do that anymore, because the public witch hunt is you know, unforgiving. But they're trying to get across the point that that's not what they meant, and that there was a 3-second clip. Anyway, I guess everyone can infer from this is what they want. But I feel like on my journey to try be a better person, I do feel that it's important to look at people's intent and to understand that, again, this is a brand. It's also a bunch of people, and people make mistakes. And when one person makes mistakes in one office in one country, we should be smart enough to understand that this does not refer to an entire organization like Unilever's policies or beliefs. And, you know, when I look at the boycotts this morning, everyone's calling to boycott Unilever and boycott Dove and how disgusting and their racist tools. And I think that that for me is irresponsible. And it's actually just fueling fire that isn't there. It's finding a small little spark and doing our best to blow on it, to create it into a flame, and then to throw gasoline so that we can have something to be angry about. And I think there's enough shit in the world today, enough things that we should really be angry about, that we don't try fabricate others on our own.
What this also does bring to the surface, which is something that, you know, other people might not understand, are the deep-rooted issues that women of color still battle with to this day when it comes to their level of self-confidence with regards to how they look. Yeah. We see it, you know, in the form of black women, Indian women, you know, women of color, essentially, battling with the idea that they need to try and strive to look white, for lack of a better description, in order for them to feel like they are worthy. And what I've seen also on social media is this kind of conversation being brought up, which is the constant battle that women of color are having within themselves about their worth with regards to their hue. So I think that this also hits at that deep-rooted issue, Rich, which is, I think, part of where the controversy is also coming from.
Yeah, I wouldn't dispute that for a single second. Obviously, I can't empathize. I don't understand that feeling. But I imagine that would be where some of the anger is coming from. Mm. I guess my point is that there's so many things I'm scared about. I was reading a piece this morning on North Korea, you know, how actually, you know, putting propaganda posters of them bombing the US. And there's so many things that I'm afraid about and angry about and upset about that exist in the world today. That, you know, guy who abused his 12-year-old daughter and then still has custody for her. Mm. I mean, the shootings in Las Vegas. That I just feel that we should put our anger into areas where they really, really are meant to be. And nobody would dispute. I just can't imagine anyone. I think everyone would agree that Dove has been stupid and have made a huge blunder and a big PR mistake. I don't think anyone would believe deep down that Dove is trying to promote an agenda that says that black women would be nicer if they looked like white women, and that you can use their product to wash it away. And that's the accusation that's almost going out. And again, I almost don't want to tell people how to react to these things. I think that this is deeply personal. The reason I wrote out that passage from the Daily Stoic is that I just think that people should try and be more mindful about how they would, I guess, react if it happened to them or if they were there before we're so quick to throw stones. This is not so much a commentary on just this incident. This, for me, is a commentary on how we react in general. And again, I could be wrong on this incident. I'm obviously taking my understanding by looking at the broader context. But I'm fairly certain that they've been stupid rather than racist. And obviously, this is why they've apologized for the offense, for the thing that you brought up, Pabs. Like, I think it's a very real something that they probably didn't take into account.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
Thank you very much for your time, guys. Have a fantastic week.
So we have the pleasure of having you physically in the studio with us next week, is what I'm understanding.
Nice.
I believe so. I'm actually be visiting you guys tomorrow as well.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Great.
Awesome stuff. Thank you very much, Rich.
Take care. Cheers. Yeah. Bye. Cheers, Ben.
Ciao.
Jeez, that's one way to look at things.
I want Rich's brain for a week. Just a week. I'm not going to be really fussy about this. Just a week. Sort my shit out.
Yeah, anything to get you out of your funk, Ben.
Write things. Just a week.
That's it. It's the reality check every single Monday right here on The Gareth Cliff Show. Well, folks, we've reached our time. Goodness, it's past 8 already. We're going to head straight to our interview. It is a replay of an interview that Gareth did with Hazel Feldman, who started off as a journalist and then landed up bringing in the biggest musical stars and productions to South Africa and is still doing so to this day. So Hazel has great stories, including the genesis of Sin City. And some of the stars who came include Frank Sinatra, Liza Minnelli, and Julio Iglesias, to mention a few. So we will be out, and it's a replay of Hazel Feldman and Gareth Cliff. So thank you very much, Mabale Moloi.
Yes, yeah, thank you.
Thank you
very
much.
Let's do this again. Well, maybe let's see how we feel about doing this tomorrow. Like, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and decide if I feel like coming or not, actually. So, yeah.
Thank you very much, Ben Kopinski, and thank you, Amanda.
Very good to see you. Thank you.
This is The Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com. Jealousy.
Jealousy. This is cliffcentral.com.